Good morning. My name is Wayne Ivey. I will be your guest preacher for the day. I tell you what, Dorothy was right, wasn't she? There is no place like home. Oh, man. We have, I can't say it, I'll crack up. We have missed y'all more than I can say. And it is so good to be back. We were there for about a three-week period. This is amazingly nasty stuff. And we've talked to people who have had it that had absolutely no symptoms. And then, of course, 400,000 plus of our sisters and brothers have been taken because of this terrible disease. So do everything in your power. Get vaccinated when you can. Keep doing all the stuff we're doing. And because this is a warning, Mary Louise and I really thought we were being careful. And it got us. But it is unbelievably good to be back with you. What is going on in our church family? Any announcements that we need to make? We will be back in a food pantry business this Wednesday. And that's been a hardship. I've been down here. I was here last week, part of the week, and a lot of people came. And you know, we couldn't help them, so that ministry will be going back again. Any other announcements? Amy, thank you. It was, and I know Ron has been above and beyond the call of duty. Do you know that he, on our new system, and I wouldn't want to be Sandy, because Ron gets beeped every time somebody gets here or leaves or touches a thermostat. So our property chair has been worked beyond the call of duty. And Wayne and Michael, Michael, where did you go? Oh, there you are. Thank you for preaching. I listened and watched. I wish you hadn't, you know, done quite such a good job. But it I really, really appreciate it. Any other news that we need to share? I got an idea. Let's worship together.
Please stand.
Thank you.
in the prayer of invocation. Come, praise the God of all creation.
We come to worship the one who calls us.
Speaking in a different voice, offering an unexpected invitation.
We're eager to celebrate the presence of God as well.
Today, let us rejoice, for the realm of God is near.
Rejoice together.
We hear you calling, God of all ages, in this season of life where so much seems to be in turmoil and confusion. We hear you calling, even as early disciples heard Jesus calling them, follow me. When we gather today by Zoom and phone in socially distanced pews, behind masks and concern, eager to respond to your call out of the past and into the new world which is being birthed. Grant us assurance you will walk with us and will not leave us orphaned as we point our faces to your realm of wholeness and holiness, even as we continue to seek the one who is the light of life, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
As we enter into prayer together, I know there are concerns that we need to share. Sarah, please give Martha all of our love. You got the word. Martha's husband, Chris, died suddenly, and the service was in Decatur on Thursday. So we look forward to being able to wrap our arms around Martha. Who else do we need to pray for?
Trish, Steve, and their family.
Thanks, Johnny. Who else? Sandy. Jordan. Who else?
My niece, Angelica.
Linda's niece, Angelica. May the Lord, Donna.
Bill,
First Christian Church member in Fort Worth. And of course, we lift up in prayer all of the people who help to keep us safe. We lift up in prayer all of those who are battling this terrible disease. We lift up in prayer all of those who have essential jobs, and there are so many of those. And we lift them all in prayer. May the Lord be with you. Let's go to God in silence and in prayer. Lord God, as the Father welcomed home his wayward son, we are so grateful that you welcome us home. As the woman at the well who acknowledged the Christ, give us the wisdom and the power of your love to acknowledge Christ in our lives. As a Samaritan who would not pass by the injured man, make us all more aware of the pain and the hurt around us, and give us new hearts of conscience, O God. We are grateful for this day and the chance to be in worship in your house with these friends who we call family. Bless us as we seek to come closer to you, closer to each other, and then call us out, renewed and reinvigorated, to be your church here in this place for Christ's sake, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that you would still our minds and quiet our hearts as we approach this communion table today. We ask that you draw each one of us into ever closer fellowship with yourself as we partake together of the bread and wine in grateful remembrance of what you did for each one of us on Calvary's cross. Help us, Lord, to approach this communion table with reverence and godly fear as we share together in the bread and the cup. Lord, we remember how on the same night that you were betrayed, you took a piece of bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to your disciples and said, "Eat this in remembrance of me." We also remember how you then took the cup and told them, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we partake of this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of what you did on our behalf on Calvary's cross. And we praise and glorify your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
a light on every tree, and all the gifts we bring. In every part of Christmas, we'll see our King. For He is the light that shines from the star. He is the shepherd watching over us all. And He is the peace that wise men still seek. A Savior born that we might live. He is the gift.
Thank you for sharing your gift with us. Our scripture today is taken from Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and a young man may stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
This has been the longest time in 42 years that I have gone without preaching.
Welcome back, brother.
No. No. And, well, but the, you know, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is after 1 week of not preaching, I can tell. After 2 weeks of not preaching, several of y'all can tell that I'm not quite on. After 6 weeks, who knows?
I will depend on your patience. Isaiah was known as the evangelical prophet. He came from a really wealthy, in fact, a royal family. He received his calling in a very strange way. Remember that? An angel came and had in tongs a hot coal. And he heard the voice asking, "Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send?" And the angel touched the hot coal to Isaiah's mouth. And Isaiah said, "Ow, that hurts!" No, he didn't. No, wait a minute. He said, "Here I am, send me." God asked, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah answered, "Here I am, send me." What is our answer when God asks that question of us without the hot coal? Isaiah preached with both a carrot and a stick. The kings of Israel, and he prophesied through several kingdoms, and they were not what you would call wise, generous, beneficial kings. But he prophesied of a coming Messiah. Do these words sound familiar? "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will judge the nations, and they will beat their swords into plowshares. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. And a little child shall lead them." A voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way." All of those are Isaiah talking to us. But this morning's passage is my favorite. Listen again. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God is God and none other." Idolatry is the worship of something as God other than God. That was a persistent problem in Old Testament times. Thank goodness, we don't do that today. Well, maybe a little bit. But that's another sermon for another day. Listen to 29 and 30. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." Make no mistake about it. God is always on the side of the oppressed, the downtrodden, the poor, the powerless, those without advocates in high places. And the church has been at her best, and she has been her most faithful when she is on their side too. I have a sense of humble pride in us at First Christian. We have an outreach ministry that is far larger than our congregation's footprint might suspect. And it is my goal this year, and hopefully your goal, to grow that footprint even more. There is so much that needs to be done. When we are advocates for the powerless, we are living out the gospel that Jesus taught. Now, when we as the church align ourselves with the rich and the powerful, the right sort of people, then we better watch out. I was reminded of Jim and Tammy Faye this week. Something came across that I saw. Do you remember Jim and Tammy Faye? You know, Jim is still going. I did not know that. I mean, I figured he was alive. I didn't know he was still preaching and had a television ministry, but he does. I love that. Have you seen that sweatshirt? And it has two black smudges here and one red smudge there. And it says, "I ran into Tammy Faye at the mall." Oh, I'm a little ashamed I said that. But he is, you know what he's selling now? He is selling the cure for COVID-19. Yeah. He is selling the cure. Wow. But they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. What does that mean, they who wait for the Lord? That means those who acknowledge God is God. Those who spend time in prayer and meditation, trying to ferret out what they are supposed to be doing on God's behalf. It means those who get their hands dirty in the business of ministry. Yellow, hello. Oh no, it's Judy. It wasn't. I was worried there for a minute, but no. What we worship as God, Paul Tillich reminded us what that is. He says that to each of us, God is that or to whom we give our ultimate concern. God is the object and subject of our ultimate concern. Can we honestly say that on a regular, everyday basis, that God's concern I have put first in my life today? I can't, and I'm supposed to be the one. I get paid to do that. And I can't say that on an everyday basis. That's what I want us to work on in this new year, so that those words, "my ultimate concerns belong to God." And then he reminds us, "they shall mount up with wings like eagles." What makes your spirit soar? What do you do that is the very best thing in your life? Not necessarily a religious thing. What makes your spirit soar? Anybody? Judy. Food pantry, good one. Anyone else? Amy.
Just doing it, sharing time with my grandchildren.
Yes, grandchildren.
Kids.
Anyone else, when your spirits are soaring the highest. Taking care of people who need it. And you know he means it because he's got a Captain America mask on. But whatever there is in your life that makes your spirit soar, do more of that. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. I was a serious runner for a long time. And once upon a time, a long time ago, when I was serving as Glenn Wilkerson's associate minister, I had the chance to work out with a runner. I was 30, and I was fast. Some of y'all are chuckling out there. I was medium fast. I wasn't slow. But one of the University of Oregon's milers, after he had finished college, moved down to come to work in Spring, Texas. Do you have any idea what the University of Oregon is to track and field? It is... Who can I make really mad? It is what Ohio State used to be to football. That's not written in my sermon, by the way. But anyway, I got to run and work out with this miler from Oregon, and I was fast. And so we were doing intervals, which means you would jog half a lap and then run hard half a lap on a 440-yard, a 400-meter track. And we had jogged together, and then he would tell me to pick it up when I hit the halfway mark. And I would be going as fast as I was, and he was running beside me as fast as I could run, talking to me. He wasn't even paying attention to running. He says, Wayne, you need to lift your legs just a little bit more like this. And I was going as fast as my fast legs could carry me, and he just took off. That was running and not being weary. Our everyday is like that. We have an everyday work world in which we just need to do stuff, and we don't tire ourselves out, but we're not on full tilt, but we're running and we're not weary. And then there are those times. The end of this passage is what speaks to a lot of us. We are promised they will walk and not faint. Doesn't seem like a very, very big promise, does it? You're just not going to fall down. Have you had those times? Have you had those times when all you could hope for was to put one foot in front of the other? And physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, your goal was simply not to fall down? Have you ever experienced that? Of course you have. If you are a human being past the age of puberty, you have. That's what being human means. We will have those hard times. So that's the question, isn't it? What is the good news for the hard times? This is one of my favorite preacher sayings. And you've heard it, but you'll hear it again this morning. Phillips Brooks was a preacher of another age, and he said, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle." If you're not fighting a hard battle today, and the reason I picked this passage out is that so many of us are today. We are in the midst of a of a pandemic the likes of which the world hasn't seen for over 100 years, which has brought on economic distress in our nation and the world. We are more divided than we have been in a long time. I won't dwell on that, but you know it's true. Tough times aren't forever. That's one bit of the good news. For everything, there is a time and a reason and a season. Tough times, and this is what I want to make clear of what I do not believe about theology. I do not believe that our tough times are caused by God for our training or that we might get serious and become saved. I just can't believe in a God like that. On the other hand, they can be used by God if we will pay attention in our most extreme moments, if we will pay attention to that small voice. Nietzsche was no friend of the church, but he did say that which does not destroy you makes you stronger. And what can destroy you? Paul put it this way, what can separate us from God's love? What answer did Paul come to? Nothing in all of creation can separate us from that love. You know, I've said before, you know, God loves you. There is nothing you can do about that. No matter what you do, you cannot lose God's love. God might shed a tear over your lack of understanding and accepting God's love, but that love is never, ever taken away. You have a choice to make when confronted with really, really tough times. And I want to, have I got a minute? It just came to me about a story that I had shared with you before that I want to share with you again. It's been, I think, years. When I was in First Colony Christian Church, I had a member. Her name was Janie. One-legged Janie. Janie had lived as hard a life as anyone I know. You'll figure out why I was reminded of her in a minute. She had diabetes, heart trouble. Her diabetes had caused her to lose one leg above the knee. Her husband was her everything. He died about 3 months after his retirement. She had a son living with her who was absolutely no help at all. She barely made it on her Social Security and her husband's pension, which was not big. She barely made it, but she gave to the church just regularly, and I knew she gave more than she could afford. But she loved Jim Baker. She loved Jim and Tammy Faye, and she sent them $5 a month. It would be like probably one of us sending them $50 or $100 or $500 a month. Even when he got put in jail, I couldn't talk her out of sending him money. But she did. Finally, I was able to take Janie down to she got a prosthetic. We finally got, and where she could get a prosthetic, and she got a leg. And Janie learned to walk again. It was halting, but she could walk. Her goal was to be able to get out and walk some in public. And she did that. Janie loved the Friday lunch specials at the Red Lobster. So we go to the Red Lobster, and this is the first time we take her wheelchair just in case, but we leave it in the car, and she walks in on my arm, and it was the Friday lunch special, so there was already a line queuing up in the entryway, and we take our place in the line, and we stand there a couple of minutes, and when we walk forward a couple of steps, I heard a and we took another step, I heard another Janie and I looked at each other, and we took that next step. Her leg fell off. It fell off in the lobby of the Red Lobster. You can't help but laugh a little bit, but can you imagine? Here is Janie, who's lived this life, this hard life, and she finally got her leg, and it fell off the first time she took it out for a test drive. And so I get Janie, and I get her into the ladies' room and into the stall. And so I go back out, and there's a kind of a circle of people standing around looking at the leg. They had never seen a leg on the floor at the Red Lobster. And so, you know, I make my way through, and I am dreading the next 3 minutes because I've got to go face Janie. And Janie, this may be the straw. And so I pick the leg up, and her purse is laying there by the leg. I get the purse in one arm, and, you know, it's kind of awkward to carry a leg with a hose and a shoe on it. And so I go into the restroom, and as soon as I open the door, I hear sobbing. And I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to... I'm not good enough to minister her in this time. And so I knock on the stall door. I said, Janie? And she said, yeah, you know, through her sobs, yes. And so I push the door gently open, and she is in there sobbing. She is laughing so hard. She is crying. And she said, have you ever seen anything funnier in your life? I said, no, Janie, I haven't. We need to adopt Janie's outlook on life. She lived life to the fullest, and when it dealt her a harsh hand, she made the best of it. We give thanks for the times that we are flying like eagles and everything is perfect. You've had those days, right? Oh, I know you have. And we give thanks for those times when we can just run and not run out of gas. But, oh God, for the promise to be able to walk and not fall over, we give you thanks. Learn a lesson from Janie. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song of invitation. We're going to sing number 323, Wonderful Words of Life. Now may peace and grace and mercy and love from God, our Creator and the source of love, may that live in your hearts both now and forevermore. Amen.
Church is over. Let our service begin.